You'll hear an interview in which two journalism students called Matthew and Tracy are talking about fact and opinion in the news. For questions 15 to 20, choose the answer A, B, C or D, which fits best according to what you hear. You now have 70 seconds to look at part 3.
Matthew and Tracy, thank you for taking part in our series of discussions on journalism and the news. In particular, I'm interested in what you have to say about how news consumers, whether they watch TV or read newspapers, recognise if they're being presented with facts or a journalist's opinion. Matthew?
That's a very good question, and actually I think it's often hard for the average news consumer to know what's fact and what's opinion. As journalism students, we've spent quite a bit of our course, a whole module, on this area. In the first part of the module, we looked at how the news is changing. People get sound bites, just quick headlines online, if you like. And of course, increasingly, people use their phones while they're travelling or waiting for something as a way to keep in touch with the news at any time. But unless they know and understand what has led up to an event, telling fact from fiction in the news is a challenge for them. However, on the positive side, many people get their news from several different media, and that means they have a greater chance of getting a balanced view.
Now, I understand you put together a questionnaire to ask people if they were aware of when they were getting facts and when they were getting opinions from the news. Tell us about that, Tracy.
Well, it was a very useful exercise because we had to really think about what we understood by the word fact ourselves first. Anyway, we drafted our questionnaire and tried it out on some other students on our course. We realised that asking open questions was problematic because the answers were so long, so we abandoned those and stuck to multiple choice questions. And even then, I cut those from 4 choices to 3 to make the whole thing more manageable.
And I see your findings showed that most people were not that sure whether they were reading facts or opinions.
No, so then we had to find an article that was a good example. I mean, where it was clear whether it was giving facts or opinions. And we read about a dozen before we found a really good one. I read one about the railways, and even within one sentence there was a mixture of fact and opinion.
Yes, it was puzzling, just like the one on class sizes. But one I read on plastic in the oceans was obviously factual because it gave statistics.
And said where those data came from. I loved the one about football too, but it wasn't that well written.
And despite its enthusiasm, it actually said very little.
So what did you do next on your module?
We had to write a factual article. I always feel apprehensive about doing that. I got some quite negative feedback from my tutor for the first one I wrote, even though my peers thought I'd researched it thoroughly. I'm getting better at it with each one I write, but I still wake up at night concerned that I might not have checked everything carefully enough, and there's some error somewhere. That can easily happen, and okay, readers probably won't get hold of the wrong end of the stick because of that, but it's just not professional.
But can I just say something about photos and video? I think that lots of people mistrust photos now because it's so easy to manipulate them. So a photo in a newspaper doesn't always support or enhance what a journalist has written. Video seems to be what most people favour when there's a choice between the two. The extent to which news has visuals depends largely on the type of publication or news channel.
Do you think there's more scope for developing your own style when you write opinion articles rather than factual ones?
Definitely. I love that. I'm quite a chatty sort of person, and I like it when I can write an article that stems from a conversation I've had, or even sometimes just overheard. The reason I admire the author Brenda McGovern is her ability to make conversation sound so real. I heard her speak recently at a book fair, and she was tremendous. You can't always write in a chatty style, though, because if the subject's something quite serious, you have to adapt so that the language is appropriate.
Well, thank you both. It's been a pleasure to have you both on.
Now you will hear part three again.
Matthew and Tracy, thank you for taking part in our series of discussions on journalism and the news. In particular, I'm interested in what you have to say about how news consumers, whether they watch TV or read newspapers, recognise if they're being presented with facts or a journalist's opinion. Matthew?
That's a very good question, and actually I think it's often hard for the average news consumer to know what's fact and what's opinion. As journalism students, we've spent quite a bit of our course, a whole module, on this area. In the first part of the module, we looked at how the news is changing. People get sound bites, just quick headlines online, if you like. And of course, increasingly, people use their phones while they're travelling or waiting for something as a way to keep in touch with the news at any time. But unless they know and understand what has led up to an event, telling fact from fiction in the news is a challenge for them. However, on the positive side, many people get their news from several different media, and that means they have a greater chance of getting a balanced view.
Now, I understand you put together a questionnaire to ask people if they were aware of when they were getting facts and when they were getting opinions from the news. Tell us about that, Tracy.
Well, it was a very useful exercise because we had to really think about what we understood by the word fact ourselves first. Anyway, we drafted our questionnaire and tried it out on some other students on our course. We realised that asking open questions was problematic because the answers were so long, so we abandoned those and stuck to multiple choice questions. And even then, I cut those from four choices to three to make the whole thing more manageable.
And I see your findings showed that most people were not that sure whether they were reading facts or opinions.
No, so then we had to find an article that was a good example. I mean, where it was clear whether it was giving facts or opinions. And we read about a dozen before we found a really good one. I read one about the railways, and even within one sentence, there was a mixture of fact and opinion.
Yes, it was puzzling, just like the one on class sizes. But one I read on plastic in the oceans was obviously factual because it gave statistics.
And said where those data came from. I loved the one about football too, but it wasn't that well written.
And despite its enthusiasm, it actually said very little.
So what did you do next on your module?
We had to write a factual article. I always feel apprehensive about doing that. I got some quite negative feedback from my tutor for the first one I wrote, even though my peers thought I'd researched it thoroughly. I'm getting better at it with each one I write, but I still wake up at night concerned that I might not have checked everything carefully enough, and there's some error somewhere. That can easily happen, and okay, readers probably won't get hold of the wrong end of the stick because of that, but it's just not professional.
But can I just say something about photos and video? I think that lots of people mistrust photos now because it's so easy to manipulate them. So a photo in a newspaper doesn't always support or enhance what a journalist has written. Video seems to be what most people favour when there's a choice between the two. The extent to which news has visuals depends largely on the type of publication or news channel.
Do you think there's more scope for developing your own style when you write opinion articles rather than factual ones?
Definitely. I love that. I'm quite a chatty sort of person, and I like it when I can write an article that stems from a conversation I've had, or even sometimes just overheard. The reason I admire the author Brenda McGovern is her ability to make conversation sound so real. I heard her speak recently at a book fair, and she was tremendous. You can't always write in a chatty style, though, because if the subject's something quite serious, you have to adapt so that the language is appropriate.
Well, thank you both. It's been a pleasure to have you both on.
That's the end of part 3.